take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you will. Going to take one verse. I've only, you know, we won't be long, maybe. Maybe. But you never can tell for sure, all right? But just, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you'll listen on purpose. Just want to help you a little bit. Not going to chew anybody out tonight, all right? So all of you, everybody can say amen or nod your head, all right? You can just be right there with me through the whole time. Psalm 119, I want you to look at one verse. Look at verse 63, would you? Verse 63, the Bible said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Amen. Now, for a little over 50 years, I've worked with teenagers in some form or other. And in that 50 years, I couldn't tell you how many times I've spoken to them about the matter of their friends. Boy, friendship's so important. In those same years, I have no idea how many times I've heard other preachers preach at youth camps or youth conferences or youth rallies about friends, picking your friends and how to do it. Hey, it's important. It's important. The ones that we choose as our friends can be a tremendous help to you, or the truth of the matter is they can absolutely destroy you if you let that happen, all right? And can I just say this to you? That's true for those of us who are no longer teenagers. You know, we preach to teenagers on subject like this is what teenagers need, and nobody else does. We all need it, all right? We all need the Bible, all right? But I believe this. I believe choosing friends really shouldn't be all that complicated. I don't think it has to be all that complicated. And fortunately, God's just given us some simple truths that make it real plain who and how we're to choose to be what I want to call your running buddies, all right? Your running buddies. I'll say this again in the sermon. You can be friendly to everybody, but who you choose to be your running buddies is important. You need to be real careful. Simple two-point message, and if you read the scripture and paid attention, you already know what both the points are going to be. So now if y'all can think through all the sub-points, we'll pray and go home. All right, just 2 points, all right? And notice what the Bible said. He said, I'm a companion of them that fear thee. Hey, I just want to tell you, if you don't fear God, I'm a little bit afraid of you. By that, I mean I'm afraid to hang too close to you. If you don't fear God, all right? Those who don't fear God show a marked absence of sense. Man, if you don't have enough sense to fear God, you're sadly lacking in the mental department. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I thought God loves us, and he does. He does. But he's God, and he is a holy God, and oftentimes you and I are not very holy. And I believe we ought to have that healthy fear of God. I think it ought to be in us, all right? Look, flip over with me to Luke chapter 2, chapter 23. Luke 23, would you? Luke chapter 23, just want to look at one verse here, and just notice what the Bible said, all right? Luke 23, verse 40. Well, we might as well read verse 39, so in case you lose the context. Verse 39, Luke 23. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Hey, can I say this to you? Even an old thief had enough sense to fear God. I mean, we realize, hey, we're not to take God casually. We're not to act like God is just another friend, another buddy out there. No, God's God. And he is the Heavenly Father, and as such, he demands our respect. He deserves all of our respect. And if you got good sense, you'll fear him. You'll fear him. There ought to be a little bit of fear in you. The fear of God helps us. It does some things for us, all right? I'm back in the book of Psalms. Look in Psalm 36. Psalm 36 here talking about a man that doesn't fear God. Psalm 36, look if you want there in verse 1. The Bible said, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." No fear. The wicked man doesn't fear God. And then look, though, what it says about this wicked man who does not fear God. Notice what it says in verse 2. "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes." Hey, you talk about a narcissist? There he is. There's a guy that brags on himself in his own eyes. He gets in front of the mirror and when a mirror at his house and says, "I love me, I love me. I'm wild about myself. I love me, I love me. My picture's on my shelf." A lot of people that way. Man, they're crazy about themselves and they flatter themselves in their own eyes. That's the wicked man doesn't fear God. But it doesn't end there. Look what the rest of that verse says. "Until his iniquity be found to be hateful." Hey, he's so bad. So bad. His iniquity is found to be hateful. Look at verse 3. "The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit." All he says, all that he says is sinful, deceitful. All that he says. The way he comes across is just that way. Now remember, this is the man that doesn't fear God. This is the man that doesn't fear God. Look at verse 4. All right? Verse 3. Excuse me. I haven't left there. It says, "He hath left off to be wise," there in verse 3. He hath left off to be wise. Hey, he quit being wise. I started to put my notes here. He turned into a dummy, but I didn't know how. I didn't want to offend anybody. All right? Especially any dummies, I guess, but he quit being wise. Well, look at the rest of that verse. All right? It says, "And to do good." He left off to do, he quit doing anything that was good. This is the man doesn't fear God. This is the man doesn't fear God. Remember, the Bible said you want to pick friends, you'd be a companion of them that feared God. Why? Because here's the guy that doesn't fear God, here's what he's like, all right? It gets worse. You look at verse 4, "He deviseth mischief upon his bed." Hey, he stays up figuring out how to do bad stuff. He stays awake late just so he can learn how to do what's wrong and do that, all right? Just coming up with something bad to do. The rest of that verse, in verse 4, "He setteth himself in a way that is not good." Here's a guy that's headed in the wrong direction. Amen. Wrong direction. And then it says, closes out, "He abhorreth not evil." Evil doesn't bother him a bit. Evil doesn't bother him a bit. Why? He's a man that doesn't fear God. Can I just say, I don't know about you, but I don't want a guy like that as a running buddy. That's not the person I want to be hanging around. That's not the person I want to be doing things with. That's not the one I want as my companion. I don't want somebody like that, all right? Don't want him as my companion. Say, can you be friendly? I can be friendly, but he ain't going to be my friend. He's not going to be my friend. Why? I don't want to go that direction. Remember I said I don't want to hang too close to him? Hey, when God moves in and brings judgment on him, if you're too close, some of it may splash on you, all right? Need to be careful. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Here's this one. The Bible says he doesn't fear God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his day be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him." Amen. Tell you the truth, we look sometimes at wicked folks. We look sometimes at people that do not fear God, and they may live a long life. But you mark it down what our Bible says, is the one that fears God, it's going to be well with him. It's going to be well with him. Who are you going to pick? Who are you going to choose to be that running buddy? Who are you going to choose in life? This is the person I'm going to spend my time with. Hey, it needs to be that one that fears God. You ought to have that in your heart and your mind. I'm not going to be a running buddy with somebody that does not fear God. Dumb man, hey, I want to be a companion of them that fear God. Why? Because it goes well with them. Goes well with them. Hey, I like to be around people where things are going well. I like to be around people, but things are going well, don't you? I don't like to be around folks where everything's always going wrong. I'd much rather be with the one where things are going well. I'll say this to you. The fear of God's a good thing because the fear of God can keep you from doing wrong. Fear of God can keep you from doing wrong. Now, my fear of my dad kept me from doing wrong because I feared a whooping. I did. Now, can I say this to you? If you don't fear a whooping, you never had one. Oh, yeah, yeah, my dad, my mom, they spanked me, no big deal. No, you didn't have a whipping. You got some taps. I've watched people do what they call give them a spanking. I'm going, no wonder your child doesn't mind it. But if you've had a real whipping, you fear it. You fear it. I still at this age, if somebody was going to give me what my dad and mom used to give me, there'd be some fear right there. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. We have a heavenly Father who says he chastens every son he receives. So what does he do? Well, he'll give you a whooping, all right? If you need it. I mean, just that right there ought to help you not to do wrong. Just remember, he's watching. I've watched kids. I've watched people. They'll look around. Is anybody watching? They see somebody watching. They suddenly become good. They suddenly are doing perfectly. But other times, I've watched them look around, and they didn't see me looking. And then they'd go do things. They'd go do things. Hey, listen, the fear of God's a good thing. Fear of God's a good thing. Don't ever get the idea, well, I don't fear God. I love God. I love my Lord too. But I've still got a fear of him. Still got a fear of him because I know that he holds things in his hand. And he can give me a whooping. I don't want one. I never had one I enjoyed. Never. And I sure don't enjoy it when the Lord has to move against me because I've done wrong. So I try my best to do what's right. Why? Fear God. Fear God. So the Bible tells us, man, who do you want to be a companion? You need to be a companion to them that fear God. You want to pick your running buddy? Number one, want somebody that fears God. Want somebody that's going to do that. But secondly, right there in Psalm 119, verse 63, it's real simple. He says, I'm a companion also of them that keep thy precepts. Who are you going to run with? I'll run with the crowd that lives by biblical principles. Don't run with the crowd that lives by biblical principle. If you'll do that, hey, we claim to love the book, then we ought to love the others who love the book, all right? This is where we find biblical principles. You don't find them on the internet. You don't find them on Facebook, Twitter, X, or anything else that's out there, all right? You find them right here in this book. You find the Bible principles. These are the ones we're to live by. And man, the crowd we want to run with is a crowd that also loves this book, all right? That loves the Word of God. You stick with a crowd that'll live by the book. I said to you, fear keeps you from doing wrong. Fear of God keeps you from doing wrong. Living by biblical principles helps you to do right. Hey, what's your life? Don't do wrong and do right. Don't do this and do that. It's simple. Now, we make it complicated because we want to shade it all gray. But God says, hey, don't do this. Make sure you do this. The fear of God keeps us from doing wrong. Living by biblical principles helps us do right. Another verse there in Psalms 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." It'll help me to do right. It'll help me to do right. Keep me on that right path, all right? You just think about it. Now, we're talking about who you're going to pick to be your running buddies, all right? Who are you going to pick to run with and live in life, all right? Well, you pick that one that fears God and then those that keep the word of God, keep his precepts. Why? Because you can trust them. You can trust them. I was talking to a friend of mine, it's probably a year or so ago, and he was talking about some politics and everywhere. And I said, "Hey, man, I just don't trust the government." Amen. And by that, I don't trust people in government. Right. Why? They don't live by this book. Yeah. They don't live by biblical principles. They live by, you know, whatever works for them at that particular moment. And just whatever comes out at that particular moment, everything be all right. And I'll do it. But hey, if somebody's living by biblical principles, you've got somebody that you can trust. If they obey the Bible, they're going to do right by you. They're going to do right by you. Who better to have as a companion than somebody that loves a book, all right, and loves what the Bible says and says, "I want to keep that book." Now, look, Bible principle demands that we treat our fellow man right. Demands that we do that. So if somebody is they that keep thy precepts, they're obeying what the Bible says, they're going to treat you right. Look, that wasn't real hard to figure out, was it? That wasn't so profound that you're going, huh? No, it was simple. We understand that. If you take this Bible and do what it says, that person is going to treat you right. They're going to do the right thing. I just want to give you just a few things from the Word of God that Bible principles will do for you, okay? They'll do for you. Psalm 119, look at verse 100. Look at verse 100, would you? Psalm 119, look at verse 100. Verse 100 says this, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." Then you look at verse 104. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Hey, the precepts of God, the Word of God, helps you to understand something about life. And bless your heart, life can be confusing. It can be confusing. What we run into, what we come up against, it's confusing. You see one thing, it says do this, another thing, no, do this. Man, the easiest comparison is used to eat that. No, don't eat that. And now they're back to, yes, eat that, all right? And don't eat butter, eat margarine. No, don't eat margarine, use butter, all right? Don't use this, use that. It goes back and forth, it's confusing. If you want to solve it, just don't eat, all right? And it'll take care of itself soon, all right? Hey, we need understanding. So where do we get that understanding from? Through the precepts of the Word of God. The precepts of the Word of God will help guide us through the minefield that is life. There's a computer game, and it's simple enough that I can figure it out and play it. All right, and I don't even know what the name of it is. Minefield or mine something. Minesweeper, is that what it is? Minesweeper, all right? Ask some kid, they'll tell you, all right? Minesweeper. But you get this little screen and you click on the dots, you know, and you try to avoid. If you hit the mine, the whole thing blows up and you lose. Well, I understand how the game goes, but I'm no good at it. You know, I can, sometimes I'll hit one and it'll clear almost the whole thing. And then you got to look and figure out, okay, what's that and where's that? And I think I've got it, and I do it a few times. I'm doing good. I'm getting real close to winning. Click on it, boom, the whole thing's gone, all right? Life is a bit like that. Life can be a minefield because things are so confusing. What you hear is confusing. you hear people telling you two different things. So what do you do? Well, you go to the Bible to get understanding. You go to the Word of God to get that understanding. And that understanding comes from us grasping the precepts that are found in the Word of God. All right? To just hang on to them, all right? Look what they'll do for you. Look back in verse 45. Psalm 119, verse 45. What will those precepts do for you? The Bible says here, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Hey, those precepts of God give you liberty. They give you freedom. They help you to walk. See, our problem is, and the problem with most Christians, and the problem with people in the world that are lost, is we look at the rules, we look at the Bible, all those rules, they restrict me, they keep me from having a good time. No, they give you liberty. They give you freedom, but that freedom is safety. You can observe what the Bible says, and there's freedom to do things without consequences that you're going to have to pay down the road. And some of them you'll pay for them the rest of your life. Rest of your life. Why? Because you ignored what God said. If you won't ignore that, if you live, it gives you liberty. But man, people look at it and say, all them rules, you don't want me to do anything. No, we want you to do things, we just want to be sure you do the right thing. You do the right thing. What a liberating concept that is. To have the precepts of the Word of God. Yep, there's some fences put up. Because we need them. We need those fences. In Texas, if you drive along down the road, you come to a bar ditch. And there's a rail up there. Colorado, you come to a 200-foot drop. And there's nothing there. Nothing. I sort of like the rail. I don't look at it and say, get that out of the way. It's restricting my right to drive where I want to. Not me. Glad it's there. God's put some fences up. His precepts have laid those things out for us. They're there for a reason. Why? Give you liberty. Oh, no, they restrict me. No, they give you liberty. But you don't have to worry in that liberty. Don't have to worry about that. You can have that liberty. Why? Observing the precepts of God. Look in verse 93 of Psalm 119. It goes even past that. Verse 93 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now that means they give you life. They give you life. They allow you to live. They just put it out there where you can live your life. If you'll follow what God says, you can live life. If you ignore it, oftentimes it's death. Oftentimes it's death. They're there. We ignore what God says, wind up death. But if we'll do what He says, gives us life. Just following the precepts of the Word of God. There's two individuals, members of this church. One of them's going to be with the Lord. But those two guys got in so much trouble. Both of them spent time in prison. And through them, I visited, because of them, I've been in every jail in Tarrant County. Now, I would appreciate it if y'all would not cause me to go back to visit the jails. And I've already seen them. I don't want to go back, okay? Now, if you go there, I will come see you, all right? But don't go. Hey, but those two fellas, what they did when they ignored the precepts, it took life away from them. And instead of, remember that liberty we're talking about? Walking at liberty? No, they're confined. They're confined. Their life is in this building. Their life is in that room with those bars. Their life is outside for a minimum amount of time, surrounded by tall fence and razor wire. Yeah, I'm living the good life, boy, doing my thing. Hey, remember when it says they left off wisdom? left off wisdom. Hey, you remember this, the principles in the Word of God give us life. They're doing it. I believe this. I believe keeping His precepts will make you tough. We live in a day where people are weak. People are weak, weak Christians, weak individuals. Look, sometimes you need to just get tough. Just get tough. Toughen up a little bit. I understand little kids with any little thing that comes along, tears. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. Some of them, if they can see a red mark, I need a Band-Aid. Well, you're not bleeding. Yeah, look there. It's red right there. You don't need a Band-Aid. Yeah, I need one. I remember going with a preacher friend of mine. That time his son was young. He's graduated, I think, now from college. But I remember going with him. We were out, and his son did something, got hurt. He started crying. Dad said, shake it off, shake it off. And you look over there, and his son was... Now, what was he doing? He was trying to toughen him up. The precepts of God help us be tough. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 69. Just give you a few examples. The Bible said, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I will keep thy precepts. Oh, but they're telling lies about me. Toughen up. Toughen up. You keep the precepts of God. You know what God says. You keep doing what God says. But they're lying. Don't worry about the liar. Don't worry about the liar. I believe this. It'll help you whip the liars. Not physically, but it'll help you whip them. One of the toughest things to learn to do in life is not to reply to everything everybody does to you. Can I just suggest to you while you're out on the freeway, everybody that honks at you doesn't deserve a honk and a fist wave, all right? Just let it go. I demand my rights. Well, you may get the left too, so you might want to calm down. Hey, sometimes keeping His precept help you whip those liars. That'll make you tough. Make you tough. Look at verse 110. Look at verse 110. The Bible says this, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Hey, help you to overcome wicked opposition. Help you to overcome it. Overcome it. I've tried to tell kids at school a lot of times somebody be saying something, and I said, you know what, if you'll just ignore them, they'll quit. But they only do it if they can get a rise out of you. If they can get you to get all whooped up, then they go, I got away with it. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make you mad. Man, if you just learn to take it and say, fine, go on your way, boy, it'd help you. It would just help you. The wicked, hey, by the way, they will lay a snare for you. So how do you avoid it? By keeping the precept of God. By keeping the precept of God. Can I remind you, old Daniel, he kept the precepts of God. He said, yeah, but it threw him in the lion, the den of lions. Sure did, but God brought him through it, didn't he? God brought him through it. Hey, it helped you. Make you tough, all right? Look at verse 141. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Amen. You know, I can't help it. I look at the verse and I think about people. We have limitations. And we have things that we can't do. I'm small, the psalmist said. He said, I'm despised. You know, and we get in a situation like that. You say, preacher, what do? You get over it. Amen. You get over it. You keep those precepts. God made you the way you are. As far as physically, He gave you the ears he wanted you to have. Yeah, but they're big. Okay, you got big ears. Well, I got a big nose. Good, you can smell better. All right? It's all right. No problem. Hey, it's amazing to me how many of us look at some feature and I wish it was different. I've said multitudes of times, I used to just pick on the ladies here, and I'd say, ladies, they got curly hair, so they get a straightener. Ladies with straight hair, try to curl it. All right? If it's one color, I'm not satisfied. I need to change the color. Now, ladies, I'm not preaching against you. If you straighten it or curl it or color it, all right? I'm not preaching against you. But I'm just saying, there's an illustration. We're not happy. We're not happy. Honestly, to me, one of the saddest human beings that ever lived was Michael Jackson. Sad to see what he went through and what he did to himself. Well, because he just wasn't happy with the way he looked. Hey, man, we look and say, well, I can't do what so-and-so can do. That's all right. God didn't make you to do what so-and-so can do. He didn't do it. You say, well, people are talking about me. They despise me. Just get over it. You keep the precepts of God. It'll toughen you up. Now, I realize what I'm preaching right now is really contrary to a lot of what goes on in the world today. But because, no, you got to make everybody do this, make everybody do it. No, just get over it, okay? Just get over it. I almost feel like asking, if you went to school for 12 years and never had anybody make fun of you, raise your hand. I don't think many of us have our hands raised. If you said anybody make fun of you, I'll raise both of them, man, all right? Yeah, I had people make fun of me. Say, what'd you do? Beat them up, man. I spent a lot of time in the print. No. Just get over it. Just let it go. Let it go. Hey, keeping the precepts of God will toughen you up, and it is a good thing for God's people to be tough. It's a good thing for us to be able to handle things. Now, I don't mean by toughness. I don't mean that physical. I hope you understand. I'm talking about emotional, spiritual, and that kind of toughness, that you're not defeated just because somebody comes out and, you know, despises you, wants to look down at you. Man, let them have at it. If you fight it, you'll not overcome them. Hey, don't you agree that being a companion of those who keep God's precepts is the best thing and the wise thing to do? Hey, you're looking for a running buddy. Can I just suggest that you be a companion of all them that fear God? And you be a companion of them that keep God's precepts. Those that'll live by biblical principles. Hey, now how do you pick your running buddies? How do you pick them? I think a lot of young people, that's why I pick somebody that world thinks is cool. I remember telling the kids at school in times past, I said, if you look up the word cool in the dictionary, you're going to find my picture. Man, we think got to be cool, all right? Now, well, it's got to be popular. They got to be rich. They got to be well-known. They got to be flatterers. That's the way some people pick their friends. You know, they'll flatter you. Now, as I said, I can be friendly to most anybody. But I'm not going to run with just anybody. Not going to do it. Be honest with you. I'll walk alone before I'll run with the dummies that don't fear God. I'm not running with that crowd. I'm not going to do it. I'll not run with those that don't mind breaking the law of God. I'm not running with that crowd. Do you ever have that person tell you, when you were younger, they'll say to you, well, and you say, well, I can't do that, man. My parents, they say, oh, what your parents don't know won't hurt. You better run away from that guy. Amen. You better avoid that person. You better stay away from that one that says, hey, we won't get caught. Famous last words. Hey, you and I need to realize we're going to pick people that we're going to be the ones we run with. It needs to be those that fear the Lord. It needs to be those that follow his precepts. And you do that, boy, how much good it'll help your life. How much good will come out of your life. You remember who you run with. A lot of times wind up where you will determine where you wind up. Boy, don't just run with anybody. Find those that fear God. Find those that are saying, I'm going to follow His precepts. I'll do what God says. You said, I can't find anybody like that. Then run by yourself. Amen. Just run by yourself. Well, I'm lonely. Then snuggle up close to God. Amen. Just get close to Him. Now, I'll tell you this. I believe with all my heart, God will give you somebody if you want that somebody and you'll look for them. They'll show up. You be careful. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, try to preach this very simple message, simple Bible truth. But Lord, so many people get messed up in life by the people they run with. Some good Christians, in trying to rescue somebody else, wind up running with the wrong person and get pulled aside and pulled away from serving God. And Lord, they pay a great price. Lord, would you help us not to do that? Would you give us wisdom tonight? Help us to see that we ought to seek those people that fear God and that want to follow the precepts that are found in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand tonight? Just to be honest with you, I have no idea how to give the invitation, but I want you to know the altar's open. If God's spoken to you in any way, or if you just need to come and spend a little time at the altar, then the altar's open. Would you do that tonight? We sing page 401.